Get into the Word. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Thank you for your patience, because we wanted to go ahead and do this on a Sunday morning and take care of a little housekeeping with that app deal. And if you have any questions, please get with Tay about it. Matthew chapter 6, and then also we're going to look at a scripture. I'm going to have you go to the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the one in the New Testament will be Matthew chapter 6. And then the one in the Old Testament will be 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I encourage you to bring your Bibles, or if you do it on your smartphones or whatever, but I also put the scriptures up here as well. And today I'm actually finishing this teaching that we've been in on the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew chapter 6. We've been taking it line by line and finishing up on this Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. I hope you have, but I know I have learned a lot through studying this myself, breaking the Lord's Prayer down and just understanding it more, and not just, you know, quoting it, but understanding what Jesus was asking us to pray for as his disciples. And last night, I just wanted to share something with you. I had a great moment with my grandson, Jarek. They stayed at our house last night, and he was going to bed. And we were putting him to sleep in our bedroom, and then we were going to transfer him to another bed after he fell asleep. So we was in the room, and they have their little going to bed thing that they do at their house, and he likes to read books. So I think I read 3 books. We were supposed to just read 1, and this kid he's going to turn 3 in June, but he knows how to get his way. He's like his mama. So he'd look at me, and I'd say, okay, Mom, you know, 1 book. And then he'd get off the bed, and he'd look at me. He goes, one more. And he goes, I'll be right back. So he'd go in the living room, get another book, and come back. Finally, we got to the point where Taya came in there and took control. She's like, Dad, you've got to take control. I was like, he's in control. I'm just enjoying the moment. So she came in there and laid down with us. We read another book, and then she said, okay, Jarek, Poppy's going to pray, and then he's going to leave so you and I can, you know, go to sleep. And so so Taya had him repeat a little prayer, Jarek, and just hearing your grandson, hearing your kids, your grandkids say Jesus is just melts your heart, you know. And he said Jesus, and he was praying. And then I prayed over him, and right when I get to the end, he knows when I'm getting to the end of my prayer, and he goes, in Jesus' name, amen. Like, hurry up, Papa, get out of here, you know. And so, but it's so neat. And so I encourage you, you know, we're teaching children back here how to pray, but do that at home as well. Pray with your kids at meal times, at going to bed, waking up, you know. Just Moses told the children of Israel, you know, there's moments throughout the day, those teachable moments, that you can teach your kids the Word of God and seize those opportunities. But I found this little deal, and I've been sharing it every Sunday, of how do I use the Lord's Prayer. And I'll email anybody my notes, so if you want those. I know I kind of go kind of fast through them on a Sunday morning. But how we broke this down was how Jesus broke it down prayer to us. Was he was telling his disciples, you start with praise and worship, pray God's will be done. So it's not about you, it's about God's will being done. Pray for your needs and others. Confess and ask for forgiveness. Ask for help forgiving others. Pray for safety and deliverance. And then you end with praise and worship. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to end with praise and worship. And our praise team, we're going to go out, Mark, with that song, the first song y'all did today. We're going to go out with that song today. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, is where Jesus teaches his disciples on how to pray. Matthew, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, like right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is implying that, the Lord's implying that prayer ought to be the center part of your life. And it was asked, you know, Jesus, the disciples were asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's so neat because they knew that the miracles, the signs, wonders, and miracles, the healings, the things that they were seeing taking place, it came out of Jesus' private prayer life. That's where the power came from. And they knew that's where it came from. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so here we go, and this is what Jesus said. And I'm reading this all in context today. It says, and when you pray, This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So he's telling us to have that secret prayer life, the time with you and the Father. By the way, I love to hear other people pray. Do you? I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you've been walking with God very, very long, when you listen to people pray, and I don't want this to sound judgmental or critical, but you can tell if they really have a relationship with the Lord. Amen? You can. Or if it's that, amen, you know, that deep religious prayer, and you're just like, where is God at? Right? You know? I'll never forget one of the sweetest prayers I ever heard, and he's not here today. I was hoping he'd be here today, but it was Patricia's dad. His name is Noe, and he comes to church here off and on. And one time, Jade and I were ministering to him, and we were leading him in a prayer. So we asked him, "Noe, you need to pray, you know, like this." And it was, I think it was on forgiveness, even one of the things. And this is when we was counseling with him, and he prayed. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, the presence of God just showed up, and it was just the sweetest, shortest prayer you probably ever heard, but it was just so sweet, and it came from a heart that was genuine. And when he looked up, Jade and I were just sitting there in tears, just because it was just the presence of God. It was just so sweet. And so I'm going to get into this, because it's not all our talking that impresses God. Amen? It's the heart and the attitude that it comes out of. In verse 7, Jesus goes on and says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans." There it is. "For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him," even though he still wants us to ask. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's the end of the prayer, and we're going to look at that today. And then he goes on to say in verses 14 and 15, we're putting this all in context. He said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Okay, so that's the whole prayer, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, in context. And we're going to focus on verse 13, the second part of that scripture we dealt with, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one," last Sunday. But today's is, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Everybody say it with me. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." All right, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, okay? The New Testament was written in Greek, okay? And if you have ever studied this out, and I know there's some of you in here that probably have, you'll know that in the original language, which would have been Greek, in the original, the scripture wasn't even there, okay? This part, it actually ended, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." That's how it ended. And so scholars, people that put the word together, said, "We're going to put an ending or a benediction on the Lord's Prayer." And so they put, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Where did it come from? It actually came from Scripture. So if you're okay for Scripture to be added to Scripture, which I'm okay with that, this is out of 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 11. All right, and this is a prayer that David prayed. David had a relationship with God. David was a man just like us. He had faults, he had sins, but the Bible also said that he was a man after God's own heart. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 11, it says, "David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, 'Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all.'" that scripture right there, what those two verses are, where the benediction was added to the Lord's Prayer to make that, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And so now you know. Everybody said amen, and I have no problem with it. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, and I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. I like reading the Message Bible. I like reading other translations. I want to throw this out there, because I'm not into the translations that are coming out today trying to make God gender neutral and all that jazz. He is Father. Amen? Okay? And there's male and female. And so I don't want you to say, "Well, Pastor Mark believes in all." No, I don't, all right? But also, the Message Bible, to know who helped translate that was Eugene Patterson, who was a pastor, and he was also a scholar as well. But he was in a ministry, if you ever study his life, he was in a ministry where he was ministering to lots of street people. And so they didn't talk thee, thou, thy. They didn't talk that way through the King James Version. King James is a great translation. I don't use a King James Version here on a Sunday morning, and the reason why is because we don't speak in Elizabethan English anymore. Amen? In fact, I want to make a redneck translation. But we don't speak that way anymore. I do use the New King James Version because it just takes out the these and the thous and makes it cleaner like we talk today. But I like the Message Bible. It's a good reading Bible. This pastor, Eugene Patterson, when he was ministering to street people, he was having a hard time discipling them because they were looking at him like, I don't understand the word. It's written thee, thou, and all this. And so this man spent some time and basically translated the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, into street language, okay, so that he could minister to these people and win them into the kingdom of God. I'm okay with that, right? He didn't go gender neutral on us and all that stuff. He was using the Word of God, translating it in a way to reach people for the kingdom of God. And so I went and looked at Matthew 6:13 in the Message Bible, and it says, this is how he translated this: "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes." I love that. And that's how he translated it for those street people to understand the Lord's Prayer. And so when I was reading that, I thought, you know what? That's great. In fact, that's so great. God, I thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I got my 3 points right there. All right? So my 3 points today are: you're in charge, you can do anything you want, and you're ablaze in beauty. All right? So here's number one. You're in charge. Look at somebody and say, God's in charge. Not you. I should have said God's in charge. The "you" is talking about him, not you, okay, right? God's in charge. And this is Palm Sunday that we're celebrating today, and I want you to stop and think about this. When Jesus was being who the Israelite people wanted him to be, they gave him palms. That's when they cast the palm branches out in front of him when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they were praising him. And the Bible says they were singing Hosanna in the highest. Glory to glory to the King. That was when Jesus was being who they wanted him to be. But when Jesus was being who they needed him to be, which was a Savior, they gave him thorns. Now, the reason why I say all that is that God is in charge. All right? And I'm going to just share some things from my own life, but even in our culture that we live in here in the Bible Belt in Leedy area is, and I had to repent of this years ago, and I still have to sometimes. Sometimes in my prayer life, instead of God, I'm praying this way. I mean, my prayer doesn't come out this way, but God, I'm in charge right now, and I just need you to do what I need you to do, right? And it's not that prayer don't work that way. God's in charge. I'm supposed to be submitted to what he wants done. And so there was a time where I was writing devotionals, and I wrote a devotion one time, and I could tell it really hit some people, you know, in our area. And it was, I wrote a, again, it was really about me, where God spoke to me one time, and And he said, Mark, you know what? You use me like a mascot. I was like, what? He said, you use me like a rabbit's foot. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. You know, come on, Jesus. You know, and it, Mark, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. I'm in charge. You need to listen to me and do what I say. And if you'll do that, then your life will be blessed. You may not understand it a whole lot of times, but I didn't ask you to understand. I asked you to follow me. And so I had to repent of using Jesus as a mascot. So what prayer reminds us of is that God, when we pray, when you have a daily prayer life, what it's reminding you is that you're not in charge. He is. And you're just listening to him for his instructions. What also happens in your daily prayer life is that you surrender control. Okay? And I don't know about you, but how many control freaks we got in here? I'm talking with your own personal life. I'm a control, yeah, God, it's got to go my way. If it doesn't line up like this, my daughter's like this, it drives me crazy. You got to be able to go with the flow. Yeah, you got to have a plan. You need to have a plan. I'm not saying you don't have a plan, but you need to have a plan. It's not fly by the seat. Taya thinks I fly by the seat of my pants. I don't. I have a plan. No, I don't. I have a plan, but sometimes plans don't work out. And so then you got to flow with God, flow with the change, whatever's going on. And everybody said, some people are so planned out that one little hiccup happens and their whole world is upset. They've lost their salvation and everything, almost, you know. Yeah, and that's a bondage. Exactly. Perfectionism, you heard it here at the church today, perfectionism is a bondage that you need to break off of yourself. And everybody said, amen. There's only one perfect one, and that's Jesus. And so that's what prayer reminds you of. And so when you're praying, you're relinquishing that control of your life and letting God control your life, letting his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven through you. Okay, I'm gonna share a few sports stories. Then the reason why is because we live in a society today, and we live in a community that's got sports way up here, okay? Then there's academics, and then there's everything else, right? And really, guys, it's supposed to be God first. Can I step on some toes this morning? I'm gonna step on some toes here in Leedy. We do a ball game thing, and hey, I'm all for sports. I played sports. I love sports. We do a ball game thing, and everybody shows up. Everybody will give to it. Everybody will do whatever it takes to make it happen. Everybody serve. Everybody volunteer. And they may spend 10 hours at the ballpark, you know, cooking burgers. But you tell them to show up to church to serve 1 hour, they won't do it. Guys, that's you're hearing from Pastor Mark today, that's out of order. That's out of line. That needs to be flip-flopped. I'm not saying come to church and cook burgers and be here for 10 hours, even though you can if you want to. I'll line up and eat some. But what I'm saying is we ought to put as much emphasis on God as we do sports, in our service for the Lord as we do sports. And I love sports. Mark Ward and I, we talk almost weekly, and we were talking about this one day, and I know he won't mind me sharing this story. I always talk about Mark. He's our local coach, and he was talking about his daughter, Grace. Yeah, and I'm sorry, Grace, I'm going to talk about you too. And I'm talking, and Taya was the same way as Grace, is that the game, they're playing softball, the game just had to go perfect. And if it doesn't go perfect, then God don't like me. And God's mad at me, and I got to get saved all over again. And I have dealt with this same in my house. And here's what I want to tell you, is there was one time I was praying, and I was at one of Taya's games, and I always prayed this way. I was like, God, I pray that Taya would just have a great day on the mound today, because she was a pitcher. And because, you know, when you don't have a great day and you're a pitcher, everybody knows it, right? I mean, you can play left field and not have a good day, and then not everybody knows it. But when you're the pitcher and you don't have a great day, everybody knows it. And so there was days that she'd have great outings, and there was days that she wouldn't have great outings. And then I would start praying. I was like, God, and I just pray she has a good outing, and that she pitches well today, and that she that her team will win. All right? Just being honest with you. I was praying this way. And the Lord interrupted me one time, and he said, Mark, do you think the other team's praying to win too? I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, they probably are. I bet that dad just prayed for his daughter just like I prayed for mine, if he's a Christian, that she's going to do well and that they're going to win. And so I got in this dilemma. I was like, so we're out here praying against each other over a game that's not has no eternal value to it whatsoever. And I said, so God, what are you doing? Who are you listening to? And I'm kid you not, because God uses my sense of humor against me a lot. That's how he speaks to me. And this is word for word, this is what God told me that day, and I've never forgotten it, because I chuckled too. And he said, Mark, I'm just here watching my kids. And he goes, and they're on both teams. I was like, oh, okay. So that changes my whole prayer life right there. So then I began to pray, and this is how I have started to pray. And I'm not saying I'm perfect at this by no means, because I was at a game one time, and whenever my daughter was pitching, if the umpire had a strike zone like this, he was hearing it from me, right? And amen, I love it. God's given me a voice for a reason. It's for using it here, not at a ball field. And, of course, I was casting my voice out there, and there was a dad out in right field, and after the game, he goes, man, I want to come to your church. And I said, what for? He goes, I could hear you all the way out here talking to the umpire. I was like, oh, God, forgive me, you know. But so I'm not telling you this, that I'm perfect at this, but what I have started praying for with sports when she was playing is I'd start praying for safety and pray that her attitude would honor God on and off the field, and that she'd pray with good sportsmanship. And I quit praying about performance, and I quit praying about who's going to win or lose. And I'm going to tell you, when I started doing that, it was just like I could go and enjoy watching my daughter play ball. I just could release it. And here last week I was watching and it's all about a mindset, guys. Like in a game, if Mark and I, we talk about this a lot, you know, you pray, I want to go 1,000, I want to bat 1,000 today. You know how unlikely that's going to happen? That's not going to happen very often, right? And if you've got a 300 batting average, that means that you fail 70% of the time. So the other 70% of the time, you need to pray for your attitude and your sportsmanship. that's where that kicks in. And I saw a golfer last week, and I knew I was going to be sharing this in my message this Sunday. And I was talking to Jada. Last Sunday we went home, and later that afternoon I was watching a golf match. And this golfer was out there, and he was doing really good, and he got to a par 5, if you ever played golf before. He got to a par 5, and this guy, it was like he just lost all sense of his golf game. And the ball was going literally, it went from one fairway to another fairway, and that, you know, the commentators were just saying, oh, my gosh, he has fallen apart. My gosh, he is just, and it's, you know, it's nationwide. Everybody's watching this. It's a golfer. And this guy on a par 5 makes an 8, which is a snowman. All right, and for him to make an 8 was a miracle. After you'd seen, they were showing where their shot went, that shot went, this, you know, all of his 8 shots, and my heart went out to him. I was like, golly, I don't know how he's going to recover after that. And he got he didn't fall apart through perfectionism, because he wasn't in bondage, but he got his mindset right, knew that God still loved him, amen. And he went out there and he started putting it back together, his game. And at the end of the game, he tied for the lead and had 2 playoff holes to win it. And I thought, I'm sitting there going, God, this is a great story, a comeback story. I'm sitting there cheering for him. Let this guy win. And he got runner-up. I shouldn't have been praying for him. He'd probably won. That's how you look at, you know. And when we say those things and think those things, that's using Jesus as a mascot. All right? He came back and tied it, and then lost it in the playoff holes, the second playoff hole, and got runner-up, all right? And the reason why I'm sharing that story is because in life, things are going to happen that's not going to go your way, all right? And you got to keep your mindset right. Keep your mindset on things above. Keep your mindset on God still loves me, even though something, you might have made the mistake yourself. It doesn't matter. God still loves you, Amen. You're still God's kid. Look at somebody and say, I'm still God's kid. Look at somebody and say, God's in charge. Amen. All right. This happened to the disciples, and this is in Acts 1, verses 6 through 8. And this is after the resurrection. This is after Palm Sunday. This is after the cross. This is after the resurrection. This is when Jesus is ascended. He's still talking to the disciples. This is right before he ascends into heaven. And it says in Acts 1, verses 6 through 8, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still wanting him to do things their way. God, show us that you're in charge. You know, if somebody rose from the dead, I think I'd be saying, you're in charge, right? You know? But they're still asking these dumb questions. Now, God, are you going to do it? You know, now that you went through the cross, now you went through the resurrection, now you're about, you know, you've ascended, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And I love what Jesus says. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Quit trying to set dates for Jesus' second coming. Everybody said, just live for him today. Amen. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power. This is where Jesus is more concerned at. He's not concerned about times or dates. He's saying, that's my Father's. He's got those set in his own authority. But Jesus says, but here's what I want you to do. You're going to receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem or in your hometown, in your own neighborhood, and then in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The circle just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But God wants you to have influence right now in your neighborhood, wherever you're at. Some of us in here want to win the whole world for Jesus, and you don't know who your neighbor is. And everybody said, amen. We've got to get more concerned. I've started praying, God, help me to see the people that you're bringing around me on a daily basis, you know, so that your kingdom can flow through me into them, and I can have some influence there. Every one of us have a part in that. But that's what Jesus said. He said, quit worrying about times and dates and all this, guys. He goes, I want you to get endued with power from on high, from the Holy Spirit, and I want you to go out in the world and be witnesses for me wherever you go. Signs, wonders, and miracles ought to be following every one of us, not just the preacher. And it shouldn't just be happening at church. It's supposed to happen out there in the marketplace, wherever you're at, wherever you're ministering at. Start believing for that to happen. The disciples also, they were wondering, why isn't Jesus cooperating with our plan? You ever ask God that? God, why aren't you cooperating with my plan? And we want him to establish the kingdom for us. Listen to this. We always want God to establish the kingdom for us, but God wants to spread his kingdom through us. You're in charge. This is what you need to start praying. God, you're in charge, and I'm here to cooperate. And now I'm going to shut up and listen to what you want me to do. And it may be do something, what he's told me to do something do last week. Sometimes he's going to tell you to do stuff and you're tired and you don't even want to do it. That's when you need to do it. That's when I found out God's power shows up even the most. Sometimes it's not when I'm all prayed up and ready to go. Sometimes it's when I'm exhausted and I'm like, God, I don't want to do anything else. I just want to sit at home and veg and eat ice cream. He's like, no, I need you to go on assignment. For me, I got something else for you to do. So this goes into number two. Number two is, God, you can do anything you want. I should have put God on there. God, you can do anything you want. And he can. He's in control. God is what we call omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, which means God has the right. He has the right to act and the ability to act. And sometimes I believe that the reason why God has the right to act and the ability to act, but he doesn't act, is because he doesn't have people acting like him in that situation. Because he needs us in the equation. And everybody said? So the revelation of his absolute power changes everything for us when we pray. When you pray, God, I know you're in charge, you can do anything you want, and I'm praying according to your will. Now, here a few weeks ago, I had something happen to me where I was tired. Usually, I try to take off on Mondays. They don't always work. I try to have a rest day, you know, a Sabbath rest day. I don't get hung up on what day it is. God just taught us that you need to have a rhythm in your life where you have rest. And the older I've gotten, the more I know that I need that rest. And so on Monday, I tried to do that, but I had a phone call from somebody on a Monday to go take care. And I've texted several of you in here to be praying for me when I went and did that, and I appreciate your praying for me. But they wanted me to go pray for a little baby that was in the hospital, some friends of mine. And I had done the wedding ceremony for this couple, and when I did the premarital counseling for this couple and did their wedding ceremony, the Lord told me that they're not going to come to your church, Mark, but here's the deal. Or they might come. I'm not going to say they won't ever come, but they might come and visit. But I want you to stay plugged into this couple's lives. I want you to have some influence in their lives. And so I knew that going into their wedding ceremony. I even told that to their mom, some of their family, that what the Lord had spoken to me. And so one of the family members called me up and said, Mark, their little girl is not doing very good in the hospital, and they had a baby that was born premature, and we want you to, if you can you go to the hospital today? And I was like, you know, my flesh was screaming, I'm tired. I just want to, you know, I'll pray for them from here. You know, I don't want to drive 2 hours. I'm just being honest with you guys. I don't have to drive 2 hours up or 2 hours back. I don't want to have to deal because it's right now I'm going to get stuck in 5 o'clock traffic. I had all kinds of excuses, right? And I said, you know, no, God, I went based on the word. He said, Mark, what I tell you, I'm going to have you in their life. You're going to go. And so I went. And on the way there, I'm praying all the way there. I get there because I'm like, God, I need a word from God. I don't have anything. I'm tired. I'm walking in this hospital. I go into Children's Hospital, and it's just, you know, seeing there was like 20-some babies in the ICU that day. And I go in there, and the mom is waiting on me in the waiting room. And I don't know her that well, just from our time of premarital counseling and marrying them. And I sat down with her, and I was visiting with her, and I could tell she was torn. She was thankful that I came, very thankful, and was thankful for my prayers. But I could tell she was wanting to get back in there with her daughter, which I understood that. And her husband wasn't there. He was driving back and forth to Elk City working. And so I told her, and she doesn't know a lot of things spiritually, okay? And I knew that. And God said, but she knows who Jesus is, okay? And he said, Mark, what I want you to do is I want you to grab both of her hands and I want you to pray over her hands. And you don't need to tell her this, but when she goes back in there and she puts these hands, her hands on her baby, I want you to be believing by faith that miracles are going to start happening. I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so we were sitting there, and I was sitting by her in this waiting room. And there was a couple other people in the waiting room. They got up and left, and I knew I needed to, because I could tell she was ready to get back there with her baby. And so I said, hey, I'm going to pray with you, but I want to put my hands upon your hands. She said, okay. And so right before I prayed, I asked her something. I said, because I was wanting to know, are you able to touch your baby? I said, are you able to hold her? And she said, I can't hold her, but I do what they call kangaroo care. I was like, do what? That's exactly what I said. Kangaroo care. And she goes, yeah, I can. They let me put my hand on her head and my other hand on her bottom. And it's called kangaroo care. And it makes them feel like they're in the womb. That's what they call that. I was like, cool, that's kind of neat. I learned something today, kangaroo care. And I said, well, I'm going to kangaroo care your hands. And that when you go in there and kangaroo care her, that I'm just believing that God's life is going to flow into her. And she said, okay. And so I prayed with her and then just let her go. And I was leaving the hospital. I mean, I was only there for maybe 5-10 minutes because she was wanting to get back to her baby. And I was leaving the hospital, and I said, so God, I drove 2 hours for that. He said, yep, you drove 2 hours for that. Will you still be obedient? I said, well, I was kind of like, well, God, I'd like to see what happens. He said, no, not all times, Mark, are you going to get to see what happens. I just need you to obey. I said, okay. So I'm leaving the hospital, and I was walking down the hall, and I was thinking, kangaroo care, that's cool. And I was just visioning her going back there and doing the kangaroo care on her and God's power just flowing into her, you know. And I was just thinking that. And just as soon as I was thinking that, this is how good God is. The Holy Spirit dropped scripture into my heart. And this is where, if you know the Lord and you know His Word, that Word will come up when you need it. Every time you need it, it'll come up. And so, because I knew I was going to go out to my car to call the family to tell them that we had prayed. And so as I was walking, the Lord said, because I was thinking kangaroo care, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, there was a time that I jumped. I said, and it just took me back. I was like, when? He goes, you remember the story of when Elizabeth greeted, or when Mary greeted Elizabeth, the Bible says, I leaped. You know, I made John the Baptist leap in his womb. I should take that back. That time where I made someone else leap in the womb. And I was like, God, that is cool. You know, kangaroo care. So one of these days you're going to hear a sermon called Kangaroo Care. It's going to be based off that scripture. But I was just like, God, that is so cool. And when I went out in my vehicle, and I was still sitting in the hospital parking lot, and I pulled it up and I was reading it, and it said that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, that John the Baptist leaped in her womb, and then Elizabeth spoke back to Mary and says, his promises are yes and amen. I'm paraphrasing it, but basically his promises are yes and amen. And God spoke to me and said, Mark, this little girl is going to live, and I need you to speaking that over her. Because they've been getting all kinds of reports about how this baby's going to be this and that. And I don't know why doctors have to do that. I don't know if that's just their protocol. But I had to tell her, you know, I said, hey, I want you to know, I know you're hearing a lot of bad reports. I mean, they're telling her the baby could be blind, could be this. I'm like, why do you even have to say that? Why does that even need to be spoken? And so I just was letting her know that, hey, there's somebody else in charge, and it's not the doctor. You know, thank God for them. Thank God for doctors and nurses, and thank God for medical, you know, professionals and everything, but they're not the final say-so. They're not in charge. And so be praying for that little baby. And still getting good reports. And I sent that song to the family called Million Little Miracles, because I said that's what's going to be happening, just a little bitty miracles every day in this little girl's life, and it has been. The very next day, listen to this, they took that little girl out of the incubator the very next day. So a million little miracles have been happening. Okay, last thing, I know I'm over time, is you're ablaze in beauty. This is the last one. And this is Romans 1, verse 20, says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So this just means that when you go out and you look at creation, you can just see God all around you. Amen. I'll never forget, there's been times where Jay and I will pull up the house at night, we'll be getting out, and I'll look up at the stars on us. I was like, Jada, how do people look at that and see that and say there's not a God? I don't understand it. It's just, and so I had to throw up a picture. Doesn't do it justice, but this is a picture my brother took. This was I asked him, I said, was that one of those fires that was going on, brother? He said, no, that was a picture of a sunrise I took a couple of years ago. And so that was so cool. And you just see God every day. Last scripture here, guys. Last thing I want to tell y'all today, and this is in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. Jesus said, there's going to be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. We're seeing this today. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Guys, I can't wait for that today. And I just want to say these things, and I don't want you to just leave here today, well, Pastor Mark doesn't believe in the rapture, and he doesn't believe. I believe that the Lord is coming again, okay? I didn't say I didn't believe in the rapture or anything, but here's what I want to tell us all. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We need to go out of these walls today believing this. The return of Christ isn't a rescue mission. It's a coronation ceremony of our King. Yes. This isn't about an evacuation of earth, but an invasion of heaven. That's why we need to be living our lives. The Bible begins with the story of a new creation and ends with the story of the new creation restored. The sin-ruined creation of Genesis is restored in the sacrifice-renewed creation of Revelation. and his victory will be complete, and our redemption will be final because he is in charge. And everybody said, so when we walk out of these doors today, I want you to pray like he's in control because he is. I want you to live and act like he's in control because he is. And I want you to minister to others like he's in control because he is. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. And I want our praise team to go ahead and come. And we're going to go out with this song today. But I want to make sure, because I know there's people here that you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay? And you don't go to heaven on what grandma and granddad believe or somebody else believes or somebody else in your family. You go to heaven based upon what you believe. And you live for him on this earth based on what you believe. And so the Bible says that we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to repeat this prayer with you, okay? This is the prayer of salvation. Even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them, okay? This is a very important decision in your life. You need to make Jesus not just your Savior, but your Lord as well. Savior and Lord. He needs to be in charge. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Now, Jade, I want you to come, and Jade and I are going to speak this blessing over you. If you're standing there with family or friends, I want you to grab a hold of their hand. We're going to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to go hug somebody's neck and say, he's in charge.